hands out to Mahesh. And Father, we bless Brother Mahesh Shabda. We bless his church, all nations, Bonnie, their kids. We pray, Lord, you'd prosper, multiply, anoint this ministry in even greater measure this year. We thank you for this brother. We receive now the word of the Lord, the blessing of the Lord, the apostolic anointing that liberates us and puts a foundation within our hearts. Mahesh, we receive of you. We receive you as a man of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody give the Lord a hand clap.
I want you to give a big hand clap to your worship team, to Darren and the whole team. I can't say enough about the quality of worship and the heart of worship that these guys carry. I get to go so many places and drink off different rivers and streams, but this is some of the purest worship. So I love it. Love it when Darren sings, "Come Thou Almighty King." It's got a touch that I haven't heard in most any prayer. So, praise God. Hallelujah. The last couple of nights I've been here, haven't had a chance. I haven't talked about our book table. You can receive a free gift from Bonnie and I, a Christmas gift. I've had a prophetic teaching called Take the Limits Off. And you can get a free download of that if you sign up at the book table. We have a lot of our books there. Some of the classic. This is about more than 1 million now have been sold. The Hidden Power of Prayer and Fasting there. And about 45 languages translated. So who doesn't have this book? Well, go get it at the book table. Yeah, young lady, yes. What's your name? Margaret. Bless you, Margaret. And this is one of our classic. We have just 3 CDs that have music and scripture. This one has some amazing stories about angels and all of that. This is for children. If you want to give a gift to children, grandchildren are coming for Christmas. You're wondering, but this is one of the most unique ones that Bonnie and I both speak in it, and there are whole bunches of children who share. And a lot of kids have come to the Lord through this CD called Glory Kids. So I will give it to that young lady on the floor. So you're already starting getting Christmas gifts. Because I've known your dad and your mom before you were just a gleam in their eyes. And your grandma. From what, 28 years ago? When did I start coming? About 28 years ago. Wow. God willing, it'll be 29 next year. We'll have a fun time. This is considered one of the best books. Some of the theologians in Europe told me that this is the best book they've read on the cross in the last 50 years. It's called The Power of the Cross, the Epicenter of Glory. You'll hear Pastor Bill, myself, talk a lot about the glory. We felt like we waited 40 years, Swanee and I, to write this book. Epicenter of Glory, the cross. Who doesn't have this one? The man in the white. Is it white? Green? What's your name? Charlie. Charlie, bless you. I will sign it if I have time, at the end. And this is my classic, though. This is the beginning. Of all things, it's really something I was saying. I don't know which audience. But time and audiences blend for me. I was last weekend, I was in Switzerland. And I came back, I was supposed to spend a week extra in Germany. And I left my wife. You know how I left my heart in San Francisco. I left my wife in Germany. And because I love you so much, I came ahead just to be with you. Yes. So this is with the we were talking about the visitation 40 years ago of the charismatic outpouring. But some of the main people who helped was the Catholics, all the Catholic charismatics. And in about, it was 88 or so, I got a phone call from the chief Catholic publishing houses called Servant. And they said, the Lord spoke to us that we are supposed to print your book. The Catholics called me. I said, we just finished our book on Mother Teresa. And the Lord said, and our next book is from you. I said, what book? I didn't have a book. So, obviously, the Lord's saying, write a book. So this is our beginning. This is, I think, first of, I've lost count, 24 books we have written. Called Only Love Can Make a Miracle. This got some of the pictures of what's one of the most, that certificate of one of the most, Charisma magazine called one of the most well-documented resurrections of the last century. So, Only Love Can Make a Miracle. Who doesn't have this one? All right. Well, that young man over there. What's your name? Isaac. Bless you, Isaac. Here it is. Amen. All right. And I just want to say again to Bill and Sue how what a treasure you guys are in our lives, in this church. And some of the people here, I consider you, the whole COP is, for me, is part of my family. We really treasure you. So I'll always look forward to being with you here. And we'll go in the Word in a moment, but I just wanted to honor Bill and Sue. And he has been a glory carrier. There is a mantle that's unique about Bill Hart. You don't find it over too many others who, not that many out there who really carry a true, special glory mantle. A lot of people who get degrees and all of that, but this man carries the presence of God. It's so valuable. And you will get an impartation just sitting under this ministry. So treasure it. You are blessed to have this here in Austin. And I want to honor just all the rest who have made this so possible. Darren and Jennifer, Shaw and Joel and Cheryl Davis, and some of the elders who have been so faithful all these many years. Some I've seen you since the last 28 years. Jack and Pat Parker, Roger and Audrey, Sykes and JR and Dora Sosa, Todd, Elizabeth Plank, Ron and Glenda, Carnes, Wes and Corey Jackson. So Corey just up there worshiping. And the youth ministers, Bill and Stacy Reed and Aaron and Rachel Deckler. And Eric, I heard your music even today. Eric and Natasha Triplett. They're some of my favorites. Of course, I've seen them way back since I've started beginning coming here. And if I show you a picture of my son, Eric, Ben, you look like you are twins. He is, yeah, very. He got his good looks from his father. Don't tell his mom. How many of you were here when you saw Fox News with my Bonnie being interviewed where the first night? You know, that lady up there next, that city was about to burst in flames and riots. Charlotte, North Carolina in October, end of it. And we felt like we were supposed to be right in the middle confronting movements like the Black Lives Matter and a lot of the really revolutionaries who wanted to burn our cities down. she was like a mother in Israel. It's like, not in, you are not going to touch our city. And something happened, supernatural. In a day and a half, the whole thing calmed down. And it was a shalom of God. So, anyway, that's, I just want, I am blessed. And, of course, it's great to see Donna. And I was so privileged. I'm glad we had, I was here to see David and Anya, heart honored. And Will, I was special. Shout out to Will Vanderwerf for being so faithful. Glory to God. It's funny seeing this kind of services. Anything can happen. And these glory meetings, I was in some time back, I remember in being in Toronto, and we had about 3,000 people in the conference. But I was through praying, at the, I was just walking out, and there was a lady sitting at the back. My eye fell on her, and I said, "Ma'am, I don't know you, but I see you with a baby." It was a weird statement. Her name was Lindley, I found out later. She's part of the staff of Toronto Airport, she and her husband. And they were now in their 40s. They'd been married for a number of years and they'd gotten married late in life and didn't have any children. So for 14 years, they were trying to get a baby. And doctors told her, specialists in Canada, "Well, no, it's not possible for you. Things are not working in your body properly, so you can adopt." So she was at peace, and here is this interfering man of God walks out and says, "I see you with a baby." She was not happy. 9 months and 2 weeks later, she had a baby. She got pregnant. And the baby was waiting in the glory. That's the one. That's Lindley. And her baby is Jordan. Exactly 9 months and 2 weeks later. So, these are called drive-by pregnancies. So it's dangerous. Anyway, but these, anything can happen. Nothing is impossible with God. Just want you to know. Absolutely. Well, it doesn't matter. I bless the doctors and we appreciate doctors. But God is God. And He makes us fruitful. And it's a season. It's a very wonderful prophetic season. Like I said, on the first night I was here on Friday night, this last 2 months, I see a shift in history prophetically. Our nation and the nations are turning into it's a new season where the Lord is moving in a mighty and unique way that we have not experienced to that measure for 40 years. This is an amazing, fresh, it's a season of turnaround and a fresh move of God. So I would tell you to be aware, to be alert, and to catch the wave. You know how surfers look for that wave? It's not like it's coming in all the time, but they are looking. They are looking, and then suddenly the big wave comes in and says, "I'm going to catch that wave." And the moves of God are like the waves of God. So God's wave wants to touch you and touch your family. Am I all right here with this? Can you hear me okay? All right. Glory. So, I want to go to a scripture, but before I do so, I have a lot of great memories of what has happened here in this part of the nation, in Texas. I was raised up. I was of Indian parents in Africa. I was born in Africa. So in Kenya, Africa. And so I often tell people, they ask me, where do you come from? I say, I'm an African-American. Because I was born, really born in Africa, and now I'm an American citizen. I'm also an American Indian, because my parents were from India, and I'm an American now. So I often threaten, if I don't get some kind of government program, I'm going to open a casino. We did a lot of mission work and outreach to the Indian nations. So, to the Navajo reservations this year, quite a bit. And by the way, if you want to look at the poorest parts of this nation, the most neglected part, it is the Indian reservations. We often think of the inner cities, which, I mean, there are a lot of pain there. But the major help is needed where the reservations are. They are some of the most ignored places. And there are weird laws that they cannot make improvements. There are all kinds of real weird federal shenanigans and limitations. You know, 100 years ago, a little bit more than 100 years ago, there were rules where the government could come literally and take the kids off the tribal people, the Indian Native Americans, and take them and raise them in different areas. It's quite really weird, that history, and the hurt and the pain that's there. So I just want to say that that's an area of focus and outreach and generosity that we want to remember touching that area. Anyway, but thinking about this place, this is the place, you know, Texas is the place I met my wife, and I'm so grateful. A lot of the miracles that our ministry is known for, they began in Texas, and when I got filled with the Spirit. First, by the way, how many of you are from, is anybody from the Lubbock area? Wave your hand. How about that? How many of you remember the Lubbock tornado? Were you? Well, it was considered, it is still historically considered the most powerful tornado to hit the U.S. Southwest. And perhaps the most powerful in the whole of the U.S. history, as far as measurements are concerned. And I was a graduate student at Texas Tech University. And I remember it was May 1970. And I had studied all day on a graduate paper I was doing. Came home in this little shack that I had 6 blocks from the university. And suddenly the electricity went off. I was so tired. I said, oh, no. And I still remember clearly there was ABC special program on the little black and white TV I was watching called The Eye of the Storm. And suddenly, poof, all the lights went off. And I heard a voice say to me, get up. And I said, this is weird. I looked around. Who is there? I said, who's there? Nobody. Again, I heard the voice very clearly. Get up. It was very weird. Third time, get up. Now, you are really weird if you hear voices. But if you talk back, you are gone. And I talked back to that voice and I said, I am tired. And suddenly, an unseen hand came, a big giant hand, came or took hold of my body and lifted me. And my feet were dangling from the ground. I mean, I was in floating in the air. And then this unseen force took me, carried me. I was sitting on an old couch, and my feet are dangling. I am being carried by this unseen force and plunked down behind this couch. And at that time, the tornado hit, and every window burst in my apartment. And part of the door was glass, and it shattered, and it became like spears. And part of the glass just shattered on the other side and went into the drywall. And if I had been sitting there, I would have been decapitated, you know, instantly. And that's where I remember clearly that the Lord sent His angel to save me. And I was still struggling. It's weird. We, as human beings, we are really, I mean, we don't deserve blessings often. You know, we fight against these blessings. So, I was still struggling. I was saying, I don't understand. What is this? And this force was putting me behind the couch, and the glass shattered and hit me. And so, I still have a little scar here. And for a special offering to Cathedral of Praise, I will let you look at it. So, about a year and a half later, right in that very place then, the Lord came, and I had heard the news that my mother was dying of a terminal, of cancer. It was all eating her. I was in Lubbock. She was in England. I had no money to go fly and see her. Her only wish was that I would, that she would get to see me before she died. And I wept for 3 days in that very apartment in Lubbock, Texas. And on the third night, this amazing presence came. I had been crying, and suddenly the glory filled that place. It was a very humble place. And I started, it was like I was in this place full of golden streets, and everything was singing at me. I saw flowers and grass and all singing at me. And believe me, I had not smoked any grass. And I saw this beautiful river. And then I was kneeling before Jesus, and I was singing to Him in a language I couldn't understand, praising His name. And He had His hands on my shoulders. And when I woke up like this, and I still was singing in this language out loud as I could. And I found out later that I had been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the voice of the Lord became so real. And the next day He said to me, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I could hear Him clearly. And I was debating Him. I said, yes, I know. And He's saying again, Jesus is the same. And I said, I know, I agree. Jesus is, I said, what are you trying to say? He said, pray for your mother. And I argued, saying, well, she's in London. I'm here in Lubbock. How can that be possible? I said, you pray. I'm the healer. And a few days later, I received the news. My mother had been healed completely. All the cancer gone. And she lived 26 more years. And in the meantime, that Hindu woman came to Jesus. So, and then a few weeks later, I heard the voice again say, go to Santa Fe. Yeah, I said, what? And I'd heard there was a revival taking place at this retreat center where there were Anglicans, Lutherans, Catholics meeting together. And so I thought, well, God may want me to go there. So I had no car. I took the bus. Remember, what was it, the Greyhound? Yeah. Took a bus from Lubbock to Santa Fe. And just hearing and obeying the voice of the Lord. And there were people on this bus. It takes hours from Lubbock to Santa Fe. And then the people started getting off. Now there was only one man way up front, and I was at the back of the bus. It got dark. Then the bus driver, this man, and then the man turned around and started looking at me. And he was big. And he had tattoos all over his body. And he was looking at me. Every few minutes he would turn. And he had this look that would terrify any one of you. Tattoos. Big muscles. And it was dark in the bus. And then he got up and walked back towards me. Tall man. I looked up. He said, looked down at me and said, can I sit beside you? I said, the bus is empty. No, I don't want you to sit. But I didn't have the courage to say that, anything like that. I said, yes. And he looked at me, and in that mean look, who are you? Who are you? And that's a question I would have just asked. Who are you today? And I inside I was trembling. Who am I, Lord? This voice here told me go to Santa Fe. I wanted to blame. Why you tell me go to Santa Fe? This guy's going to kill me on the way to Santa Fe. And Lord, who am I? And the answer came. I said, I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he started crying. He said, I've been in prison for the last 20 years. I was just released last week. And I found out my wife is gone. My children, I don't know where they are. No one wants to do anything with me. And 2 days ago, I tried to kill myself. And they found me, and they showed me his wrists where he had cut them. And he said, I have no hope. I said, you came to the right place. Let me tell you about Jesus. And he started, as I'd led him in a prayer to receive the Lord, he started weeping. And then started raising his hands and started speaking in tongues. And the glory just fell on him. And I said, wait a minute. I just led you to the Lord. I didn't talk about the Holy Spirit. And the glory just filled that place. I said, why did you come back and sit by me? He said, because for hours I've been looking back at you. And you are shining with golden light. And I had to find out who you were. Because there's no other light, but your body is shining. And it was the presence of the Lord. Now, I'll give you a scripture. In 1 Corinthians 4, it says, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. So, people may consider Paul and his apostolic teams, wow, you are prophets and evangelists and you are an apostle. But Paul says to everybody, I want everybody to know and consider us as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Greek word for servants, a lot of us, we have become trite in defining who we are as servants. I just want to tell you two aspects just as your identity, because in the midst of terror, I asked the Lord, who am I, Lord? And the answer came from the glory. You are a servant of the Lord. That's, I'll just briefly mention two legs. Every human has, basically normal, you have two legs. These are the two aspects of truth. Truth often travels on two legs. One is then, who are you? In your identity, who are you? And this will create and help create tremendous fruit in your life, I feel like, as we see ourselves. Number one, who am I? I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Greek word is huperetes. I'm a huperetes of the Lord Jesus Christ. And often we translate, in the King James it's translated servant. But it does not give you a real picture of what they would have in that culture understood as, what is a huperetes? Huperetes. How many of you have seen the old Charlton Heston movie, Ben-Hur? How many have never seen it? You are deprived. The next time, at Christmas time or Easter, they will show it to you. Because it's Ben-Hur, the story of the Christ. But part of that, in the movie, they bring it out quite well. But he's taken as a slave. And he becomes a galley slave. And he's chained to the boat, if you'll remember. And a lot of the galleys, the ships were like galleys, and they would have people who would row the boats, and the big Roman galleys would have three-story kind of things. And there were, the locomotion came from the rowers. And the rowers were often chained. Their legs were chained to the boat. And you see that in Ben-Hur. And even the new Ben-Hur that came out, I did see it. But the chef scenes I saw on the trailer. And that is, in that area, this is in 1 Corinthians. In Corinth was a city on the isthmus. And often, there would be a major, there was an isthmus where what they would do is put some of the ships, then they would make and contrive them to put them on the ground and push them on logs across this isthmus, so that they wouldn't have hundreds of miles of traveling around the isthmus, but they could make a crossing, a small piece of land. And so often those people in Corinth would see these ships being transported on this ground for this brief distance. And they would see those slaves, the galley slaves. They were called the under rowers, the people on the low rungs who were chained to the boat. They were the huperetes. And so that's the term. I am a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are under rowers. Well, they don't see light. They are under, in the belly of the ship. And they are rowing. And the five aspects of these servants was, Number one, there would be, if you remember the movie, there would be these drums, doom, 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 and they would say, ramming speed, remember? There would be normal speed, there would be ramming speed. When they were at war, there would be doom, 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 and they would have to all row together. So you have to row not on your own beat, but row at the beat of the captain. The captain would set the beat, and you rowed according to the beat. Secondly, you didn't row according to whatever mood it struck you. You had to row together with the other servants who were rowing. So you rowed together. And you didn't do it on your own. You were instructed. And thirdly, you had to trust the captain. If he said, ramming speed, you just did the ramming. You didn't question the captain. There was no, hey, I'll do it what I think I want to do. You obeyed the captain. Fourthly, he was committed. That servant, galley slave, was committed for life. He was right there. Or whether he got comfortable, however he felt like, it didn't matter. He was there stuck with a chain. He was a slave, a servant. And whatever honor was received by the captain, not the slave. Now, this is the picture the apostle draws of who we are, is that we are servants. Now, they had to do it, the slave, under compunction. They were slaves. But Paul says, we are bound to the Lord out of bonds of love. We do it as servants of the Lord because we owe everything to Him. We praise the name of the Lord and worship Him because we know He died for us. He paid the ultimate price for us. And our hearts and our lives belong to Him. So I am an underoar. So I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to Him with the bonds of love. Always. And in eternity, we will still be worshiping Him. So it'll be helpful for us to know that it has always been for me, whatever the people may call me, an apostle, an author, an evangelist, where hundreds of thousands have come to the Lord. In the end, if someone would ask me, who are you? I would say, I'm an underoar. I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, if you love Jesus, who are you? Who are you? And you will always, it'll help us in, I have found that the more I remain with that heart of humility, the more the glory is able to come. So I'm telling you a secret, a trade secret of why did these miracles happen? How did these things flow? Well, part of that reason is, one of the main reasons, and we need to realize it, is because the more I come with the heart of a servant, the more I'm able to listen to the captain's beat. I'm able to listen and hear his voice. Do this, do that. Many times now, I've been asked to go this place, that, and I have to listen. What is the captain saying? My captain is Jesus. He's the commander. The other leg, I just want to say briefly, and I want to pray for you. And I find this very much in, I'm coming from Europe, or across the United States, that one of the other words that, and it's a balancing word, is in Romans, there is a scripture that in Romans 8, verse 14 says this, For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again, to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So you, all of you, as we have exercised faith, you have been adopted. And you are a son. You are a daughter of the King of Glory. He has adopted you. We sang, Come Thou Almighty King. Help us thy praises sing just a moment ago. And in the first verse, help us thy name to sing. Help us to praise. Father, all glorious, overall victorious. We begin with honoring the Father. And we all, this is the spirit of humanism, the spirit, the culture has been infected by what I call here in America, in the Western countries, of a spirit of the orphan. So, and we have, the way they act is, you know, my wife has a message to me, you know, said, did you have a mother? You know, did you have a father? Because, and if you have had real parents, they'll tell you, we don't behave like that. You remember how your mom and dad, when you were growing up, we don't act like that. And part of it is a reflection on your parents, how you act. If you see my children, my sons, when I go to Los Angeles with Gary Hargraves, they go to Gary Hargraves Church and Living Word. But they're invited all wherever. But they were trained in my house. So when they're invited for Thanksgiving or anything, they're kind of, right now, professional bachelors. I mean, they just focused on their career. But so they go to, and there's a comment always. They will come wherever they're invited and start serving. They will wash the dishes. They will tell whoever they're, wherever they're invited. They say, relax, just enjoy. No, no. If our dad was here, he would say, get off your, you know what, tushy. And my father's spirit is still here. And he's watching over me. And I'm not just me here at ease. And that's, we are guided by the spirit of the Father. You have a heavenly Father who loves you, who sent his son to die for you. So that is, the Holy Spirit is the spirit of adoption. As we say, we want to be filled with the Spirit. What does that mean? It means it tells you, you belong. Don't act like an orphan. We have a whole culture that wants to do all its own thing and acts like rebels. And it's like, and part of it is because they feel they are not loved. They don't belong. As I saw us having communion this morning, I said, we are here in Father's house having communion. We are one family. We belong. Tell your neighbor, you belong, neighbor. And the opposite is the devil. The Satan is the chief orphan. I just want you to know. He wanted to act apart from the Heavenly Father. And wanted to do his own thing. I will ascend on high. I will do it. Where Jesus comes and he has the Spirit and he says, I don't do anything that my Father does not tell me to do. I do what my Father's will. So there is an aspect where we have been influenced quite a bit by the spirit of this age, which is the spirit of an orphan. We act on our own. We cannot fit in. And they're those kind of people, what you want to exercise compassion over them and pray deliverance from the spirit of the orphan. You belong. Tell your neighbor, you belong, neighbor. Okay, so tell your other neighbor, you are not an orphan. And the whole, so when Satan starts his rebellion, it is all people who want to go on they're separated from the Heavenly Father. And so he continuously releases an orphan spirit. So he's that the demonic spirits that oppress people, drive people from each other, they isolate them, get them into self-pity, into depression, into discouragement. And as you go, at the root of it, often I find, is the orphan spirit. They feel rejected. They are into self-pity. And you want to say, hey, Jesus died for you. The power of the Holy Spirit is there to bless you, to heal you, there is a destiny and a purpose that God has put in your life. Amen? We have good news. So that's part of the good news. You don't have to hang out alone in your loneliness. God wants to deliver you and make you a son and a daughter. Say, I'm a son. Or I'm a daughter. And you belong. So that is part of the goodness of God. And so this is what I believe in this season, what I'm declaring, this coming season of recovery and restoration. God says, pursue, overtake, and recover all. We are recovering that spirit of belonging. I belong. I'm in the Father's house. I am a son. I am a daughter. I have an inheritance. And there is the treasures. The blessings of Abraham are yours. Because I am not an orphan. I am a daughter of the King. I am a son of the King. So that is. And then we are men and women. See that. So that's the two legs, I believe, prophetic legs that God wants to strengthen in us. One is the spirit of servanthood, that we are happy to serve, because that's where the glory comes. The more we have a heart, say, may all the glory go to Jesus. I am just an under-rower, and I will row according to the beat of the captain, and I don't have to get the glory. And if that is so, when there is a branches of Christendom sometimes, you know, they try to get self-promotion, they want to be recognized. That's not the spirit of the servant. The spirit of the servant comes and wants to serve. And that's what I saw in the worship team, is they are all servants. It's so wonderful. And it blends together here, because the heart of servant rests in this worship team. That's all my team last night. You saw them the night before last. The Fox News covered it and said, here is this church. So it was only when the rioters were about to start rioting, our church showed up right outside the area where they were going to riot. And it dispersed. We were singing Christmas carols and all of that. And the thing was, we were all our community. They are not working on their own thing. We could all row together and strengthen each other. So there is a greater purpose and greater things we can achieve as sons and daughters, not as rebels. The spirit of orphan is a spirit of the rebel. I say, any aspect of that, we are driving out. I am receiving my inheritance. I'm a son. I'm a daughter of the King of Glory. Let the King of Glory come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Amen? Give him a big clap off this. So, what I want to do is just say a prayer for you right now. And I wanted to stand up and bless you, dismiss you. We're going to pray. Just a simple prayer. Just raise your hands. Say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
For Jesus. And his example. I am willing to humble myself and receive his mantle with joy to serve your purpose, to serve with a willing heart. In your house and outside your house, to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free. Come, Holy Spirit, anoint me to be a servant, to be an underoar. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that as you fill me more and more, I cry out, Abba, Father, I am not an orphan. This day, I renounce every spirit of the orphan spirit. I am not an orphan. I am not a rebel. I belong in the house of God. I am loved by the Heavenly Father. I am loved by the Son, the King of glory, whose name is Jesus. I am loved by the Holy Spirit. I belong. I'm a son. I'm a daughter of the King. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Amen. Give him a big clap. Hallelujah.